From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds, and this is The Conversation. According to the Centers for Disease Control, an average drunk driver has driven drunk 80 times before their first arrest. Here in Washington, after three horrifying suspected drunk driving-related deaths, the governor and lawmakers have been spurred to get tough on drunk drivers. Here's Governor Jay Inslee.
Those who drive under the influence in our state put our fellows and our neighbors and our fellow citizens at risk every single second that they are on the road. For that reason, today, a bipartisan group of legislators, myself, are announcing the most aggressive, the most effective, the most ambitious program to reduce drunk driving on our roads in Washington state history. And it is the right thing to do in the light of the terrible tragedies of the kind we have experienced recently in Washington state.
Governor Inslee speaking yesterday at a press conference alongside a bipartisan group of lawmakers discussing the House and Senate bills proposing these changes. I'm going to talk about these changes and explain to them to you what they are. And then I'd like to hear you give me a call and tell me whether you think they're going to make a difference. I'm at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. I'd particularly like to hear those of you who've maybe faced DUI charges. Do you think that stronger punishments will work to discourage that behavior? It's toll-free 800-289-5869. Or you can write to me, conversation@kuow.org. Now, I want to emphasize these are still proposals, but they are expected to pass. Here are the changes. For a first offense, drunk driving would be treated like domestic violence is treated. The driver will be arrested and taken into custody under this new proposed law. After a second offense, offenders must enroll in a program that's called Sobriety 24/7. Among other things, this program requires participants to take frequent breathalyzer tests. Offenders who do not participate will face jail time of no less than 6 months. This program was implemented in South Dakota. More than 30,000 people who were in it had a 99.2% pass rate on their breathalyzer tests. Then if it comes to a third offense on DUI, the new proposal says offenders will be sentenced to a year in jail. Also, they'll be issued a driver's license for someone under 21 to try to prevent them from legally purchasing alcohol for 10 years. The orientation of their photograph will be different. So if they go into a liquor store and show that, people will know that they're not going to sell liquor to them, even if they obviously look like they're over 21. And finally, these new proposed laws would require all DUI offenses that an ignition interlock device be installed on every vehicle owned by the offender. Those are those things we have to breathe into. It takes a measurement of your blood alcohol content and only unlocks the car if it's below the legal rate. Now, the court could make an exception in certain cases. So my question for you, what do you think? Too far? Not far enough? Give me a call at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. It's toll-free 800-289-5869. Or you can write to me. It's conversation@kuow.org. There's a public hearing on the House version of this bill today. And as I mentioned, it's supported by legislators in both chambers and on both sides of the aisle. But what about you? Do you support it? Do you think a third DUI conviction should result in a scarlet letter on your driver's license preventing you from legally purchasing alcohol? Do you think that's enforceable? Do you think the bill goes too far? 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. Give me a call to tell me what you think about that. Now, State Representative Sherry Appleton, a Poulsbo Democrat and self-described civil libertarian, says that the provision for the third offense, that offenders be issued a driver's license for someone under 21, precluding them from legally purchasing alcohol for 10 years, is a little too intrusive. Representative Appleton called instead for more money for treatment. She told the Seattle Times, alcoholism is a disease and we need to treat it that way. And last week, I spoke with journalist and author David Sheff. He wrote the memoir Beautiful Boy about his drug-addicted son and the recently published Clear, which is a treatise on ending addiction to both drugs and alcohol. Sheff told me that 40 years ago, when Nixon started the war on drugs, Americans started viewing drugs as a criminal problem, which resulted in a system that's focused on reproach and punishment rather than treatment.
Addiction is a disease. People are finally getting that slowly. There's still a lot of resistance to that idea, but it is a disease. And we know what to do when you treat diseases. You know, you go to a doctor, you go through tests, you are assessed, and then a treatment plan is devised. And that's what we need in this world, and that's not what we have.
Sheff said that the government does spend for a problem, alcoholism, that people does not spend enough money on alcoholism because people believe it's a choice. And he argues we need to start recognizing addiction as a health problem and not a criminal problem. So what do you think? Are these proposals on drunk driving too focused on punishment and not enough on treatment? Are these all alcoholics? Is an alcoholic going to stop driving drunk if they're punished severely enough? Now, of course, if you lock them up for life, they won't be driving again. Other measures, there are certainly ways around, and is it really getting at the problem? 206-543-5869. By the way, this afternoon at 4, there's going to be a press conference with the Shoot family. Dan Shoot lost his parents when an alleged drunk driver struck them while they were walking in the Wedgwood neighborhood. They're going to update the public on the, he's going to update the public on the status of his wife and his newborn son, who were also hit in the accident and are in critical condition. They've expressed support for changes in the DUI laws. That's what they're going to have to say about it. What do you have to say about it? 206-543-5869. Steve's listening to us in Tacoma. Steve, what do you think about these proposed changes?
I think the changes are great. And I think that, you know, even though we have to hit this problem from a treatment standpoint and a punishment standpoint, one does not dismiss the other. I was hit by a drunk driver 4 years ago while I was running. I was running and I got hit by a drunk driver. Okay, I suffer limited mobility in my left arm and my right knee is severely damaged. The person who hit me was driving after their license has been suspended. So the enforcement of these things and the continual check of drivers and their ability to drive should be more scrutinized. I know of three people right now who are working for companies that have restrictions on their driving abilities. Now, do I feel the public? Do I feel like I should go out and tell on these people? No, I don't think it's my personal responsibility. I think the system should have a responsibility to check and periodically check people who have. Who have shown irresponsible behavior in the past.
You know, I'm curious about that, Steve. You say that the system should do that. You don't feel comfortable doing that, but the system can't be everywhere, and the system can't check on everyone. And every time I talk to a law enforcement officer, they say, you know, we can't do it alone. We need the help of the public. Why would you be unwilling to say something when you yourself have been a victim of a drunk driver?
Well, I guess it's a personal choice because I know these people, and I know that two of these people are supporting large families, and to take away their ability to support those large families would be, you know, it's a crux that I deal with. Trust me,
yeah.
It's something that I really deal with personally. And if you were ever in that situation, I don't know. I know that I choose to talk to these people and let them know that, you know, the incredible risk that they're taking, and their assurances that they give me is that, you know, they don't drive anywhere. They don't drive anywhere that does not have to do with work.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I guess that's a fault of my character, but I can't find myself to bring that forward.
Steve, thanks for being so honest about this with us. We appreciate it. Steve calling from Tacoma. Let's go to George, who's with us today on Beacon Hill. And we're talking about these new laws. Looks like they're going to go through. That's what we're hearing. Both lawmakers on the Republican and Democratic side support them. Tougher measures for all sorts of offenses that I explained a little bit earlier. George, what do you think?
Well, I think, you know, the only treatment for alcoholism that works is to stop drinking. And so I think it sounds to me like these measures are going to make it much more difficult and much more problematic for somebody who has an alcohol problem to keep on having an alcohol problem and keep on driving. I think those are the very kinds of things that convince people eventually that they have hit bottom, as they like to say in the treatment regimes, and that they really need to do something about it because it's just too inconvenient to keep on being a drunk.
No, I hear you. So you think that these will impose such a penalty on people, even though they may be alcoholics and they may be out of control of their life, you think it might at least be part of forcing them to recognize they have a problem and deal with it.
That's the only thing that, I mean, my father was a drunk and a drunk, you know, he wrecked cars and And I mean, his life was a mess for many years. And ultimately, all drunks, if they live, stop drinking. And they stop drinking because their life is a mess. And so,
or they stop drinking because they die. Or they stop drinking because they die of the effects of their drinking.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean,
but do you think, George, with your father, you've had a personal situation. Do you think if laws like I just discussed were in place and your father was affected by them, if he had had to serve a year in jail, if he was arrested on his first offense, if he got a driver's license that wouldn't allow him to buy liquor, do you think he would have stopped?
You know, I guess I can't say that for sure. You know, it's hard to say. You know, he started drinking and had problems with drinking for 20 years.
Yeah.
But ultimately, he quit drinking because it was a huge problem for him. People kept repossessing his cars. He kept being broke because he'd do things when he was drunk that he regretted later. I mean, you know, so I think, and for everybody, that threshold is a moving target, but it is absolutely clear to me that the greater you inconvenience level you inflict on people who are drink too much and drink uncontrollably for all intents and purposes, the better.
George, thanks very much for that. Do you agree with George? Do you agree that punishment will get people who have what you might say, what you would agree is a health problem, to turn around their lives? You can write to us, conversation@kuow.org. We've got time for one more phone call, though, on the air. You can also weigh in this on our Facebook page, KUOW's The Conversation with Ross Reynolds. We have John on the line, and he joins us from Marysville. And I understand you got a DUI, John.
Yes, I did, about 9.5 years ago.
And you support these tougher laws.
I do, but the only thing I'd say is that there was an option, or there has been an option, of what they call deferred prosecution, which I took advantage of. It's like you have to go through treatment. You have to present the court slips that you're going to the AA meetings. You have to go visit a probation officer. And you have 5 years of probation that if you get another DUI, you're prosecuted to the full extent of the law for both of the DUIs, the one that you got deferred for and the one that the new one that you got convicted of.
Now, you went through that. You went through that program, John?
I did. And like I said, I have 9.5 years of sobriety. I haven't had a drink since December 22nd of 2003. And the reason I think the laws should be stiff is, yes, alcoholism is a disease, but drunk driving, you know, we can't sympathize with that. I mean, it's something that these people that were killed recently, but the man that had like 5 DUIs under his belt, I don't remember the exact number, but you know, the people's lives are being lost by this. It's not a disease like cancer where you're suffering yourself and others can feel sympathy. I mean, these people have to be off the road, and nothing seems to stop people except making it extremely impossible for them to drink and drive. And I really think that it's necessary. I mean, I have no problems with the court for the punishments that I received. I mean, I did do the deferred prosecution,
right,
but I was fully prepared to do whatever was necessary if I got another DUI.
John, hey, thanks a lot for sharing that story with us. I really appreciate you doing that. And we're going to be moving on right now, but you can also write to us, conversation@kuow.org. Once again, the governor lining up this week with lawmakers on both sides of the aisle for these tough new regulations on first offenses, second offenses, and third offenses, and also kind of making some requirements about the installation of those ignition locks that you have to breathe into so it can tell whether you are driving under the influence. I'd mentioned earlier that we expected a press conference later today from the Shute family, of course, gravely affected by an alleged drunk driver. The two parents of Dan Shute and his wife died, and his wife and newborn also in the hospital in critical condition. They've canceled that press conference for now, so we'll be keeping you advised of whether or not they're going to come out and have something to say about these laws and about the situation with that mother and child and what will be happening with them. You're listening to KUOW 94.9 Seattle. I'm Ross Reynolds.